story, you could tell that Upwell were going for the throat, but it's almost as if it was the big bad wolf. They were huffing and puffing and they couldn't blow the house down. And even when they did score, within the space of 3 or 4 minutes, we scored the equaliser. So again, I think that just shows the character that our players have. Edo, No Chofdes Podcast. Wow, this is the strangest surrounding I think you'll ever see. I'm doing the podcast in the car. Roy's doing it in a new surrounding or new venue. We're not going to ask where you're doing it, Roy, but how are you doing, Philip? What's going on?
Yeah, man, I'm fine, man. I'm fine. How about yourself, man? I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well.
Well, look behind me. It's still cloudy.
Yeah, it's like a screensaver, man, for depressed people.
Mate, tell me about it. Usually I have like the background being the score line, but I don't have that now because I don't have the option. I'm doing it on my phone, Rare. This is technology these days. We can do anything on your on our phones. It's ridiculous, but it's good ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always a good side and a bad side. This is the good side of things.
There you go. Excellent. And the good side of things that we're on the OLB, which I keep forgetting to mention, and we're close to 300 subs for now. I think we're on 268. No, Mizzo?
Maybe a bit more, man. Maybe a bit more.
Just going well. Have you been watching the football, the FIFA games?
Yeah, I actually do watch them. And yeah, it's fun. It's fun. You know,
it's interesting. Interesting to say the least, but hey, Edo. Well, look, let's talk about the game, the draw against Upwell in the Coca-Cola Cup. I thought, you know, this is a game that we thought would be completely different to the league game. I'm pretty sure from the last pod we said that Upwell will be much more attack-minded. They won't be as defensive as they were in the league, and I think we got that one spot on. They went with a 4-2-3-1. But let's talk about our lineup because we had a couple of changes. I think we went back to the 4-4-2, which we were used to prior to Šepović getting injured. Šepović obviously came back in the side with Asante out front. Loiza started on the right. Thiago was on the left. Gusu and Jordi were in the middle. And the back four was pretty much standard as last game, actually, wasn't it? So no changes defensively. But yeah, what did you make of the lineup, Brother Bola? Were you surprised to see him go 4-4-2?
I can't say I'm surprised. On the other hand, I thought that maybe it was a question I had in my mind because obviously Chepa was back in match fitness. So that would have been a question. I personally thought they would go with a 4-2-3-1 as well. But okay, like we always mention, no surprises in the sense that, you know, it was mind-blowing or something completely, you know, different to what we're used to. I think, you know, we've mentioned before that we've got a squad of about 16, 17 players. I mean, it's the starting 11, the four that came on, and you can add Babu Lee and Eric to these. So, yeah, we've got about 16 players. Whoever starts the game is not really a surprise to me. And the formation, okay, maybe we wanted to approach the game with a 4-4-2. But again, no surprises. There's actually quite a few things we can say about the game. You know, how Apoel approached the game, how we played the four substitutions we made beginning of the second half. But then, you know, if there's a more simplistic way of putting it, if, you know, you just say one of Apoel's best games and one of our worst games, and we didn't lose, and we scored an away goal. So, Nomi Zodi, okay. Again, not the performance we expected, but we're still favourites to go to the next round, I think. If we play just a little bit better than yesterday. I mean, you don't know, Nomi Zodi, I feel it. As you don't know, this.
Well, in all fairness, when I saw the lineup, I was very surprised to see the system that we played because when you look at Upwell, they went with a 4-2-3-1. And that was something that we kind of predicted was going to happen. I don't think they were going to go with the 5-4-1 or the 5-3-2. They had a lot of players back in contention and Zue came back at right back. Rafael Santos, who has hardly played the game this season, he played at centre back with Vinicius. Zabala was still at left back, but they played.
Ludemo started the game.
The central midfield with Anwar. And now Djonaridis is on the right again, which is what I guess we're kind of used to seeing. But in Ndongala, it was on the left. Now, that came as a little bit of a surprise to me because he's not a left-footed player, but I guess he's just using his pace to try and get in behind Shehu, which he did a couple of times. But I think Shehu was just so strong, he made it very, very difficult for Ndongala to do his job. And Joe Garner up front was very isolated. He didn't get many opportunities. I think the only chance he really had was in the second half when his header was saved by Fabiano. But we did what we had to do. I think the whole point was to basically stifle them because we knew that they were going to give it their... It was going to be a much difficult opponent than it was at the weekend. And you can tell, as I said in my Instagram story, you could tell that Abuel were going for the throat, but it's almost as if it was the big bad wolf. They were huffing and puffing and they couldn't blow the house down. And even when they did score, within the space of 3-4 minutes, we scored the equaliser. So again, I think that just shows the character that our players have. I think it shows the mentality that our team has. And I think it also just shows that this is Abuel's last throw of the dice to make something of their season.
Not only the season, I think for them it's for the years to come, because in case they don't manage to win the cup, it's going to be something that they're going to carry for the years to come as well financially. You know, there's a make or break sort of point. And for them, if they don't go to Europe with the financial problems they've got now, it's not just, you know, they weren't playing for just this season. They're playing, I think, for years to come. Because similarly, we said about that game where Omonia got disqualified from Dinamo with Fofi. And we said that that game alone, you know, changed the history. Omonia, maybe ιστορία ήταν να γραφτεί διαφορετικά αν επερνούσαμε και για το Αποέλ νομίζω δεν καταφέρει να πάει κυπελλόν και μόνο τούτην τη χρονιά να πιάσει ο κυπελλόν είναι τούτην τη χρονιά που να χάσει και τα χρόνια που να έρθουν μετά. So it's going to cost them a lot. So yeah, I mean they approached the game no surprises. Like we mentioned on our last podcast, we expected them to play like that. They tried to win the midfield battles and okay, they managed to a certain extent to do it. But like you said, we've got the title once again, huffing and puffing like the big bad wolf, huh? That should be the title, I think. Αλλά ναι, you put έβαλες το τέλεια, ρε φίλε. I mean, I could have thought of something better, you know. It seemed like, okay, it seemed to me that they held the ball more, but the statistics said that the possession was 51-49 to us. The first half was quite equal. No really big chances. The chances, the first half, both of them were offside. The one Abuel missed with Ndongala, which Fabiano saved, and the one with Ernest that was an offside. Not Ernest, but Lejacs at the beginning before he passed the ball. First half ήταν περίπου ίσο, ρε φίλε. Απλά εθώρες το Αποέλ ότι είχε όρεξη, ρε φίλε. Είχε παραπάνω όρεξη, είχε παραπάνω διάθεση. They wanted to, you know, give it their all. And they were more concentrated and tactically they were prepared for the game and all of that. Second half was a little bit, the game was slow. First half was slow. The tempo was slow. The pace was slow, I thought, at least. They cancelled each other out. Abuel most of the times won the battles in midfield. And then the second half, we started the second half με τέσσερις αλλαγές, which, okay, Berg likes to surprise us, but, you know, I wouldn't have bet my money that he would have changed four players beginning of the second half. I don't know. I mean, he said that, you know, he had it planned. But, okay, I don't know how convincing or not it is, or it might sound to some, because you can't plan something without knowing what the score is going to be. And to be absolutely honest, I think that if someone like, I think Mick McCarthy did the same thing the game of the first round. And we criticized that, you know, it's not something, it's more something you do out of desperation rather than part of a plan. Because why would you change four players as a part of a plan. But okay, Henning Berg said that, you know, he had that plan, and I don't have reasons not to believe him. So Vitor came on. Obviously, I think he wanted to use his physical strength in midfield because, as we said, we lost a few battles in the first half. And he put on Johnny and Duris and who was the other one? Jonem Buevale.
Wait, he brought on Lang for Hubachan. He brought on Duris. Yeah.
And we changed these four players, but I don't know. I mean, it didn't seem like it changed much in the game other than Upwell holding the ball maybe a little bit more, moving it around in and around our area there. But, you know, the first chance, which wasn't really even a chance because it was I think it was generally bad defending, bad timing, and obviously Michael could have booted it. But okay, I don't want to be too strict with our defense because it's been superb, fantastic this far. But it wasn't, you know, a chance that Upwell created, because basically the goal Lonarini scored was an assist from our defender. It wasn't, you know, as if they built. Okay, Zahid did a nice through ball to Ndogala, but it was Efkigen Bollaek, sorry, file, and we should have defended better there. Αφήσαμε τον να την γυρίσει πίσω, έφτιαξαν την Λούφνερ, αλλά not to safety. And, okay. And then, other than that, ήταν η ευκαιρία του Garner με Τζεφαγιάν που έκοψε. So they might believe or say that they were a lot better than us, this and the other, but I didn't really see that. I saw a better Upwell. I saw one of the καλύτερα Upwell που είδα φέτος, at least tactically, and η διάθεση που έδειχνασαι για να παίξουσαι, ας πούμε. Αλλά if that's the best of Upwell, I'm not really impressed, ρε φίλε, to be honest.
Well, this is it. And there are a lot of things that I noticed from the off. The first thing was the way that Upwell were passing the ball around. They were much more quicker than at the weekend. And as I said, at the weekend, I think they just came to avoid losing. So when they did hold on to the ball, they held on to it for as long as they possibly could. But yesterday, it was passing quickly, passing in diamonds, passing in triangles, making space. Zahid, again, was their top player, moving into spaces, creating spaces. And when you got a player like him, you know, it's easier to work the ball quicker because he creates, plus he creates space. But I think the one thing that stood out for me first half, especially, was the way that they pressed in the middle of the park. They pressed Yordi, they pressed Gusu, but it's almost as if they were trying to wind up Gusu as well. They were trying to get in his head. No. And I think maybe Busadidis thought that Gusulos isn't a composed player. Maybe he thought that he's hot-headed. Maybe he felt that he's easy to wind up, but he didn't fall for it, which is good. And that shows maturity, especially for someone at 24 years old. But going back to what you said about our changes at halftime, we went from a 4-4-2 to a 4-3-3. I don't know if you noticed, we had Thiago moving into the centre of midfield. And I think, as Berg said, it was intentional because I think he knew that they would try to overcrowd us in the middle of the park and prevent us from playing. So if you have Thiago to drop deep into the middle to make a three, you're going man for man defensively, like what we from a midfield perspective. It's like what we did in the league game when we went man for man up front, when we went three up front to play against their three central defenders. This time we went three in midfield, but also three up front to have Loizzo as the spare man, because we knew that Johnny's was always going to be roaming around. We knew that Duris would be up there because I think we missed the physicality. Shepherd did okay, but he's just come back from injury. So he didn't really do too much up front, from holding the ball up, from dropping deep. And Rafael Santos was going man for man on Asante in the first half. So the pace was kind of being limited. But with Duris up top, I think we had that extra option, that extra bit of physicality. Johnny's just always going to be buzzing around, but Loizzo was the spare man. And as we saw right at the end, with him being unmarked, with him coming in from out wide to a more central role, he was that spare man. They didn't pick him up. And unfortunately, the ball came to his right foot instead of his left, and he put it over the bar. So that's basically the summary of the game, really. I mean, we had hardly many chances in the first half. I think Yordi had a shot which went over the bar. Uzoho was hardly tested. Second half, obviously their goal, which we can talk about in a bit more detail, because again, I agree with you with what you said about us being the problem, us allowing them to score, because Ndongala wasn't tracked properly by Hubachan. I think he was too quick for him. Perhaps Fabiana could have come out a goal quicker to shut him down. And then when the ball was played across the box, maybe, I think Ndongala hit the ball with enough pace and power for it to be difficult to deal with. Because that's what we said a few weeks ago. We don't put the ball across the face of the goal. Do you know what I'm saying? We don't do that. And that's what Ndongala did. And when Loftus tried to cut it out, I think the pace of the ball was too heavy and too difficult for him to get enough power to get it away. So when he did stick his foot out, it went straight to Glonaridis. And let's be honest, who was marking him? No one was marking him. So we've let them score the goal.
So it's four possible mistakes for that goal.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, I can't be too harsh on them. I can't be too harsh on the team because, as you said before, they've been outstanding defensively this season. You know, was it 13 clean sheets in the league?
I think 15. Yeah,
15 clean sheets out of 25 games, man. You can't, you know, they're entitled to make one or two mistakes, you know. And it wasn't a costly mistake. It wasn't a costly mistake because it goes back to what we said again last week. When teams score the first goal against us, we've always got that onus. We've always got the mental capacity to fight back. And it was hard. I had enough time to get up and make a cafe and sit down, and we were level. So, but again, I think we got to credit Leshiak's. We got to credit. I mean, how many assists has he got this season? They got Dea.
Together with Europe, I think it's 14. Okay, yesterday, does that count as an assist or because Johnny had the shot then? It's around for, I think it's 12 in the league and then two in Europe. So like I just said, his assist, refile.
And he's in the top. He's in the top six of assists in Europe, isn't he?
I think he's fourth. He passed to Ernest the first half, which was offside. It was him. The goal started from him, even though Loizo. Passaren bolla oria in the open space to Lejax. And then JF Geriadu Loizu passaren dopo due obsessed to penalty the 90th minute when he missed the chance. Loizu missed the chance. So three times. And even Pursaididis said, you know, no matter what we do, we're not going to stop him. I mean, he's going to have one, two, three chances. It's not possible that we can stop him for 90 minutes.
But you know, that I agree to some extent. But the thing is, what you got to look at is, first of all, Nsue, who's the fullback. Okay, he's got lots of experience. He's played for Birmingham. He played for Middlesbrough. He played for Apollon. So it's not, he's 31. So it's not as if he's old either, right? Yeah. So he's got the experience to handle that player. But then you're also looking at Glonaridis, right? Where is the support from him? Because you need more. As a fullback, you need that support from the man in front of you. Now, we didn't have an out-and-out winger on that side. So we go man for man. So effectively, it's just Lejax that was on the left-hand side getting forward. So they only had one man to deal with. Thiago was moving in central again. So that's Ludemo's job, or Anwar's job to pick him up. So I don't think Bursa's been eating too much turta. He's been eating too much cake. He's got sugar rush or something, yeah? That's gone to his head. I don't know. But I think he just needs to calm down a little bit because at the end of the day, it's almost as if he's using that as an excuse, you know, that they didn't win the game because Lejax is so good. Okay, Lejax is an outstanding fullback and we've said it all season. But again, you can't hide behind that. You can't hide behind your tactical ineptitude when you've got two players on that right-hand side picking up one man. How does that make sense? And then you're telling me he's difficult to stop.
It was an answer to a question. It wasn't an excuse he found. It was an answer to a question that a journalist made to him. So, okay, I don't want to judge him too strictly. But
No. He was protecting his players because he didn't have the balls to turn around and say, "We had two men on that right hand side. Why didn't they stop him?"
No.
Okay. Maybe he's asking them in the dressing room or in training. I don't know.
Γιατί ρε φίλε τον γκολ που βάλαμε the equalizer. Where the fuck was Glonaridis standing, man? Did you see the replay?
Yep. Putting everyone on side.
Ρε φίλε, γίνεται ρε φίλε το πράγμα.
Yeah.
Είναι, I fucking pissed off at you. I'm not probably this done, but what the fuck are you doing, Remy?
But again, it goes back to intelligence, game intelligence. If he was standing 2 yards to the left, 1 meter to the left, everyone would have been offside. He would have been off the pitch. He'd have been off the pitch, so everyone would have been offside. But again, it goes back to the intelligence and ball watching, something that we keep repeating, the ball watching in this game, the ball watching in this league, the defensive ineptitude. Edo. But listen, credit to Thiago, because again, that was an instinctive finish. Yeah. He only had one thing to do. He had a split second to decide on what to do, and he did it. So,
last week, Hasan Efkerian, which was easier.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's the Dandana Klastiga, what do you call Dandana Klastiga in English? Anyway, he was quick to react, you know, because not much time, because it was a really good save from Zoho. Just he finished it. Yeah, it's easy to miss these chances sometimes.
So tell me, what did you make of that incident with Saha and Luftner? Because I'm seeing a lot of Upwell fans on social media saying, oh, the referee made a bad decision. He should have played on. It wasn't a foul. For me, Saha raked his Achilles. He raked Luftner's Achilles. That's a foul.
I was watching the game with a couple of friends yesterday, and the truth is, they were looking at his hands and his arms, but I was looking Carlos Toboindu, and it seemed to me that he stepped on him. Okay. When you watch the replay and it's not slow motion, you're thinking, did something happen? But the thing is that Luftner was in front of him. You know, he was in front of him, so he controlled the ball. So why would he fall down if someone didn't step on him? Because if you watch like the slow motions or when you pause the video there, you can obviously see him not only with his foot, but with his arms as well. He's pushing him. But when you Amando, this tigliorin ginis, and if you're moving with that speed, just a small touch is enough to get you off balance.
But this is it. I think the referee uses common sense. I think the referee uses common sense. Maybe he I don't think he was 100% certain that it was a foul, but he probably thought, just like you said, Luftner was in front of him. So how would Luftner go down if he wasn't pushed or stepped on? And Luftner was holding his ankle, his Achilles tendon. It was the studs of Saha's on his boots raked his Achilles tendon. That he could have severely injured him with that. He stepped on him. That's a foul all day long. So when I see these Upwell fans online saying, oh, you know, that the referee is a cheat and this and that. What are you talking about, man? Sibna, honestly, take those yellow and orange and blue goggles off and look at it objectively. That is a foul. Am I wrong? I'm not wrong. I'm not lying.
I mean, you're not lying, Refili. I like that. This is Cyprus. This is we.
This is Cyprus, my friend.
This is Cyprus, my friend. Jamie's like, I'm not in the bull. Let's put it, Refili. But now the tables are turned, and they're the crybabies, and they're the ones complaining. Why? Because it went from 80-20 to 50-50. Dora, idiot, this year, got that right?
Fair enough. What else do we need to add, Red? Because I think the game in general was okay. It wasn't great to watch. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't highly entertaining. But I'm happy. If you'd have told me before the game that we would end up with a 1-1 draw with the away goal, I'd have taken that. I'm pretty sure that Upwell's second leg, they have to come and attack us even more now. They have to play up higher up the pitch. I don't know what kind of system he's going to play, because I think with Merkiz on the bench, he's 36 years old. I don't think he'll play in the second leg. I don't think he can cope with Šepović and Asante if they do start. I'm surprised that Arthur George didn't start. But I guess he may have had a few issues. He joined at the beginning of the season, didn't he? The beginning of the season. So maybe he's had a few issues. But Devi Senti, do you think he's going to play second leg?
I think he probably might start with the same 11.
Joe Garner up front.
I mean,
most of his game was just moaning. Most of the time he was moaning.
It is uncharacteristic of English players, man. I'm like, you know, English players, they can take the physicality of a game and they're like, come on, I have to get up, man. But he was whining like a little bitch, man.
Yeah. To be honest, I think he's had a lot of injuries in his career, I think. And when you're a footballer, and he's not old either. This is the thing. When you're a footballer and you've had so many injuries throughout your career, you lose that bit of pace, you lose that bit of energy, you lose that bit of ability. And it must be frustrating. Yeah. And I think it was more frustration than anything, because I think he came to Cyprus with the mindset that, oh, I'm going to get 15, 20 goals in this league, no problem. I've seen how Matt Darbish has done it. I've seen how Killian Sheridan scored goals. I can do it. But I think he's realised that, A, he's signed for a club that is in total disarray, and B, he underestimated this league.
Yeah.
Is it, how many goals he scored? 3? And all in one game against Salamis, wasn't it?
Yeah, 3 or 4. I think he scored a hat-trick against Salamina. And I'm not sure if he had another one, but I'm sure about the hat-trick. At the end, Adrian, this side, I think it's 3 goals in one game. But okay, that's terrific.
And then what about Jack Byrne as well? Because I thought that he was going to start, but it's almost as if he's out of favour, isn't it?
I'm not sure he was ready from a physical point of view because he was injured. So I don't know if he's ready. ABD, on the game we played against them on Saturday, he was out because of an injury. And it was a 50-50 for yesterday's game. So,
So if he's fit, he probably will start then, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know, man. There's one more game. I'm always going to play. I don't know who they're playing against on the weekend, and I don't care. But
where are they playing again? They're not playing in the top six, are they? They're not in the playoffs, are they?
Let me just check on my phone, man.
Which category are they, man? I can't remember.
Championship, right?
Championship? Does that even exist? I've never heard of that before.
Google, okay. Man.
Oh, well, I'll have to do it. I have to get my Google Translate. I don't understand. Yeah. My Greek isn't perfect, so I might need that Google Translate. But yes. Alexa, where are Abuel in these standings? Where are they? I'm sorry, I don't know that. But yeah, listen, all jokes aside, they're a big team. And we can take the piss out of them, we can laugh at them, but I don't think we can underestimate them, because eventually they will turn things around, man. I think they will anyway. Maybe not next season, but the season after, you just don't know. So just got to enjoy it while it lasts, isn't it?
we have to. And let's not forget that what they have achieved in the last 8-9 years where we were. I mean, we should sometimes look behind our shoulder and or remember where we were, you know, because if you forget what we went through, and you know, you sound a little bit big-headed and all of that, we shouldn't overestimate anyone, we shouldn't be afraid of anyone. But okay, yeah, like you said, we might joke a few times on the show, but definitely they're a big team. And they have ego as well. And, you know, eventually things are going to change. But like you said, we should enjoy it as long as it lasts. And let's hope it lasts.
Forever.
For another, few years.
Brilliant. Well, look, one last question before we wrap up, Philemon. I've had a few people on Instagram messaging me. One of them yesterday said, what's your take on Hemingway's contract? Because he's out of contract, obviously, at the end of the season. I haven't heard anything, but I guess he'll be offered a new one. Do you think that's going to happen?
It's the most logical thing. I started to sort of touch this subject last time, not only with Berg, but with the players as well that are out of contract. But ne, αν πρέπει να μιλήσουμε μόνο για τον Berg, ρε φίλε, I think there's no one who is sane that doesn't want Berg to sign a new contract. So I said last time that it's not what we want. Obviously, Omonia is a step in the career of some of these either players or managers. So it depends on his ambition. I personally think that, especially if we win the title, the Prodastri man, he might want to stay for at least another year to try and make it to the Champions League stages. But I think it's mostly up to what Henning Berg believes is the next. It's not so much what Omonia wants, it's what Berg wants. Because if Berg wants to stay at Omonia one way or another, another Evrusi Refile, and he's going to put pen on paper and he's going to sign a new contract 1-2 years. But if he's, you know, ambitious, or his manager's waiting for other offers to come, because obviously he's building a very good name for himself. But, you know, there's definitely teams that can offer more money than Omonia, but maybe that's not what's important for him. And I think he's building something really nice here at Omonia. It's not just Omonia playing football. He's brought in the youngsters. He believes his players a lot. He manages to work with a budget, and he's zida parapano pramada. Because he could have easily said, "Yeah, you know, I want this player who's $500,000, and I want this player, and I want that one." But he's like, "No, I respect the budget. I trust my players. I believe in them." He's brought in Bundo youngsters from the academy, and he seems to be in sync and in line with the board. He's working for Lagalamed or Laku Jedontarabunuzi, which is very, very important, because in the past, you know, the clash of characters between technical directors and managers, you know, eventually, you know, leads to problems. So saying that Laku and Darabunuzi is also running out of contract, so you should see that as a pack. I think J3's prebinarino refile. Yeah, so if you're asking me if I want, yeah, obviously I want Berg to stay. Like I want Lufner to stay.
Wait. We want everyone to stay, Pilum. We want everyone to stay, but
yeah,
listen,
yeah,
but I think we need to come to...
It doesn't depend on us. That's like the bottom line is that, you know, I don't think it depends 100% on us.
Money talks, bullshit walks. Okay, so if the money is there, I'm pretty sure they will sign. And let's be honest, if Henning Berg does leave, where's he going to go to the Thalassine and walk on the beach? Do you know what I'm saying? He goes to Mackenzie Beach in his jeans. How us? I'm from the UK and I'm looking at Ray. You're wearing jeans to the Thalassine. What's going on? I've never seen that from a Scandinavian in my life. So obviously he's used to Cypriot life. You know, for you guys, it's normal to go to the beach wearing jeans. Hey, what? I go like there as a Charlie, right? As the tourist. I'm thinking, what the fuck is going on? He's wearing jeans. That's how you know he knows the culture there. That's how you know he knows the culture. But yeah, anyway. Well, look, that's it for another show, Giza. Shall we just... actually, no. We've got some announcements to make, but we're not going to make them just yet because we haven't officially tied things up. But there's a possibility of us doing charity fundraisers. We've got 3 guests booked. They're not confirmed, but they're pretty much booked. So we've got a lot coming up, haven't we? Lots and lots coming up. And it's still early stages. So, Dibaxilo, we can continue and carry on doing what we're doing. And, yeah, we'll see where it takes us.
Yeah, we promised that we're going to try and become better every time. So we're working in that direction. We put in our efforts and our time. And yeah, we got some surprises. We started with the giveaway with the T-shirts. Now we're thinking of some charity work, like you said. Big names coming up. Surprise. So all you guys have to do is just, you know, subscribe, follow, and just show some appreciation to what we're doing. If you do like what we're doing. Additionally, we're trying to... Να βάλουμε υποτίτλου στα ελληνικά, να το πω στα ελληνικά τούτο για τους ελληνόφωνους και τους Κυπρέους. Επειδή ξέρουμε ότι χάνουμε πολλούς followers, επειδή μιλούμε αγγλικά πολλές φορές με ο Στέλ.
They're just reluctant to watch. There's a difference.
okay. Dax, thanks for correcting my Greek.
No. I wasn't correcting you. I wasn't correcting your Greek. I'm just telling you that, you know, maybe we're not losing them. They're just not wanting to watch.
They're demotivated. Okay, it's going to give them an extra motive. Για να μπορούμε να σας βοηθούμε και εσάς που δυσκολεύτεστε λίγο με τη γλώσσα. So, ναι, πολλά πράγματα. Έρχονται πολλά μεγάλα ονόματα στα podcast, συνεντεύξεις. Οπότε, όλοι subscribe, όλοι follow, like, share, πες νούνα σας, του τατά σας, της βαφτιστιάς σας.
You're adding too much now. I'm not going to put that in the synopsis, but hey, you're right. Tell anyone you possibly can. So yeah, that's it. So until next time, Kobelia, Roy.
Πάμε σιλά καμου, θέλω πρωτάθλημα, θέλω και κύπελλο.
Double, please.